And now it's Monday. Stanley Hatzel from the Market Block Books is here in the studio with us to talk about more great reading material. Hi, Stanley.
Good evening.
Do we have a theme this week?
I am talking about poetry and I'll say in air quotes, children's poetry, but this really is poetry for everybody. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know about how you experience poetry, but in my education, I only had one teacher, and she was a substitute who only gave a positive spin to poetry, so I never had really good exposure to poetry.
Hmm.
And as a rule, I find poetry to be the hardest thing to get people interested in.
So are you saying that every teacher that you had, with the exception of this one substitute teacher, put a negative spin on poetry?
If they mentioned it at all. I had almost no poetry experience in 12 years of public school.
Wow.
But I had one eighth grade teacher who filled in for a month for Abraham Lincoln. He looked like Abraham Lincoln, my teacher.
And I always thought that poetry had a rhyme.
Right.
That's what
right.
I learned in school.
So you're going to learn today that it does not. So I brought books from the children's section of the store, and I hate to say children, and I want to say young readers, but these books really read like books any adult would want to read. Hmm. So I'm starting with that premise and trying to get people to look at poetry differently. The first book I want to talk about is by Naomi Shihab Nye, who was born in Ferguson, Missouri, long before Ferguson was famous for what it is now, and then moved to Texas. Her father is from Palestine. Her mother is from Missouri. And so she has become one of my favorite poets from a long time ago. And I have this this love affair with her poetry. And she used to come to Emma Willard here in Troy. And when I was working in the Albany store, one of the teachers told me she was in town for the week. And I told them how much I loved Naomi Shihab Nye. And she came to the bookstore to meet me.
Cool.
Sadly, I didn't know she was coming, so I didn't bring any books to sign. But when she got back to Texas, she mailed me a letter with book plates that I could put her signature in my book. So she's pretty cool in my estimation.
Definitely, definitely.
So this first book is called Voices in the Air, Poems for Listeners. And I kind of tagged a couple of places here. I really like the way she writes. And this this first poem is called Gratitude Pillow, and I'm sorry Tatiana's not here because this is a poem about...
She's listening.
Are you listening, Tatiana? Because this is about Maya Angelou. And the quote at the beginning is from Maya Angelou. She says, "Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel." And the poem goes like this. Maya loved the jingle of the massive key ring carried by cable car conductors. First woman in the San Francisco trolley uniform. She liked the shiny buttons on the jacket, appreciated the swoops and dips of the routes, sharp curves, corners, bustling avenues. Clinking coin dispenser latched to her belt. She'd be a conductor all her life, write and talk, take people everywhere out of their tight little rooms. And if anyone told her they were going to Gloomy Street, she'd say, "What? Lift those eyes. Take a look at the sea to your right, buildings full of mysteries, schools crackling with joy, open porches. Watch the world whir by. All we are given without having to own, and shake that gloom right out of your system. Hope is the only drink you need to be drinking. Jingle, jingle, step right up."
That's
so
great.
There's my...
I didn't hear a single rhyme.
No, poems do not have to rhyme. And then there's another series of poems. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's rather long, but the title of the poem is called "Tell Us All the Gossip You Know." And it's excerpts from rumors or gossip about other poets. So she says here, "Robert Bly said writing a bad poem before breakfast every day is a good habit. He did it in honor of his old friend Bill Stafford, who also did it after, and he did this writing after Bill died. The poems were never bad, by the way. They were great. There were a lot of them. You could work on them later after you ate." And then she has this little piece about Walt Whitman. "Anyone can visit Walt Whitman's birthing corner on Long Island. The guide points and says, 'There, right there, he was born.' Some visitors can't move on quickly to the next room. They are hypnotized. What if Walt had never left this corner or stepped out onto the streets to do all that he said and did? Then who would we be? So Naomi Shihab Nye has a bunch of books. This is her brand new this year called Voices in the Air. I highly recommend it. You won't find a single rhyming poem in there.
with that first poem especially, there's sometimes when I'm listening to poetry or especially when I'm reading it and this is one of the reasons why you have to do these things several times,
right.
You know, because you can get lost in the words themselves and in the rhythm of them and the assonance and alliteration and all those other things. Or sometimes that disappears and you enter, you know, you have the visions, you have the imagery and the all that kind of stuff that just pops into your mind.
You know, there are different ways I've approached reading poetry or reading it aloud versus reading it just visually. I think seeing it on the page for me makes a completely different experience than hearing it read. But I like the randomness of it being read aloud. Then I kind of latch onto a word that, now what was that whole phrase? I don't know the whole phrase. I can't remember the whole phrase, but it does spark that imagination. And that's why I think reading out loud is so important. And that's why she calls this poems for listeners. Mm. I think it really requires being read aloud. So I have listened to poets who read their poetry purposefully and repeat the lines with emphasis. And I like that, but I don't do it like that. So so bear with me and come by the store and look at the books. The next book is called Breathe and Be. It's a book of mindfulness poems. Now, it really looks like a children's picture book. You know, there's trees, there's a couple of kids in the tree, there's a moon up there. But these poems really are pieces of meditation. These poems are meant to calm you down. These poems are meant for you to be more mindful and to pay attention.
First page looks like a color vision test.
Yeah, it's a very bright and colorful book. Everything about this book is gorgeous. So it's written by Kate Coombs and illustrated by Anna Emilia Leitinen. Sorry if I butcher your name. So this one is one of those poems. This whole book is like this. You really want to take this so slowly. And here's how it starts. How I rush, rush, rush. Thoughts flutter and dart like birds. Slow down, thoughts. Come quietly with me. There is time to breathe and be. Slow down, thoughts. Come quietly with me. There's time to breathe and read. If you were to just not know that I was talking about children's books, you wouldn't think that either of these were children's books, that they'd be shelved in the children's section. And as a result, I think they don't get the attention they deserve. But this Breathe and Be is such a beautiful book. And you can just sit that book in your lap and just read a line and just take time to savor everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do either of you meditate?
Mm-hmm. I've done some, yeah.
So this would be the precursor to a period of meditation, just reading one of those poems. And so I had the good luck years ago to be able to teach fourth grade for one year, and it was a blast. And my students were the kind of students who were pushed on to the next grade, and they weren't really ready for fourth grade, most of them, maybe a couple were. So I was trying to figure out how to get these kids excited about reading. So I brought this next book into the classroom. This is 1986. This book was written in 1974, and it's called Where the Sidewalk Ends, and it's poems and drawings by Shel Silverstein, and anybody who has kids knows this book probably. And the reason the fourth graders liked it so much because there are words that you don't normally get to say in the classroom. You know, things like boogers and farts and a few other things. Yeah. You know, and the kids would pick the poem, and every day we'd start the class with a poem. So they would choose.
Make sure we'll be able to use them on the air.
Oh, these are kid appropriate, so they're safe for the air as well. So this first poem is called Pancake, and this is an homage to Amy Halloran out there, who is obsessed with pancakes, and why not? Who wants a pancake, sweet and piping hot? Good little Grace looks up and says, I'll take the one on top. Who else wants a pancake fresh off the griddle? Terrible Teresa smiles and says, I'll take the one in the middle.
Oh, rhyme.
And there's a big old stack of pancakes. Mm-hmm. And there's your rhyme, JP.
Now I can go to sleep.
So Shel Silverstein will do a lot more rhyming. And and this is probably his most famous one that I never knew he did until we read this in the fourth grade. And it's called Boa Constrictor. And it's, I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit. Do y'all know that poem?
I don't know that one.
I've heard it, but I heard it as an adult.
Well, what do you know?
It's
nibbling my toe.
Making me think of Cat Stevens for some reason.
Yep. I've heard it.
Moon Shadow?
Yes, I think this has been made into a song, actually. So that's a quintessential. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to leave you hanging on that one and see where the boa constrictor ends up. So this is the poem I wanted to read that every fourth grader loved. It's called Hat. Teddy said it was a hat, so I put it on. Now Dad is saying, where the heck's the toilet plunger gone? And there's Teddy wearing the toilet plunger on his head. That gets lots of squeals.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I want to run quickly to, I'm not going to do this justice it deserves, but this is Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson. It's actually an autobiography, but the whole thing is written in poetic style. It's all poetry. And it starts out from the day of her birth in February 12th, 1963. And she says, I am born on a Tuesday at University Hospital, Columbus, Ohio, USA, a country caught between black and white. I am born not long from the time or far from the place where my great-great-grandparents worked the deep, rich land, unfree, dawn till dusk, unpaid, drank cool water from scooped-out gourds, looked up and followed the sky's mirrored constellation to freedom. And that's how she starts. It is such a beautiful book. And again, it's hiding in the children's section, but really it could easily be in the adult section.
Hiding in the... Yeah.
I say hiding. It's not really hiding.
I know. I'm just thinking in terms of, you write a children's book, you're reaching future audiences that are ever expanding. So it's a very smart thing to do.
So I want to skip over to this next book, which is the title of a very famous song that everybody knows unless you're maybe 12 or 13 or 14. It's called Singing in the Rain, and it's based on the song by Arthur Freed and Nacio Herb Brown. And the pictures are by Tim Hopgood. This is super, super colorful, fun, and if I was in a singing mood, I would sing the book to you. But it's basically, I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. Now, I don't know. I look at this book, and I remember being that kid who ran out as soon as it started raining and would splash in every puddle I saw and love, and even to this day, I'm 64, I still love going for a walk in the rain and occasionally will splash in the puddle if I'm wearing the right shoes. Singing in the rain, you're going to want that.
Mm-hmm.
How's my time?
You got about a half minute.
Half a minute. I'm going to jump quickly to Sandra Boynton, who used to write greeting cards for shoebox greetings. You remember those funny things? Probably long before you were coherent. But this is the fifth series of books. She takes her children's books and writes songs to them. Hmm. And each book comes with a CD. So there's this one. There's Blue Moo and so many fun books. We play them in the store. We laugh. We sing along. My favorite is a song that says, I need a nap, which usually comes at about 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the need for the nap. I don't get the nap. So Poetry Month is next month. So this is me getting a head start on Poetry Month. Please read more poetry because your life is poetry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming, Stanley.
You're welcome.
Be back again next week, right?
Right.